Okay, this hour we're going to take your phone calls with CeCe Stevens about dowsing, crystal skulls, and also remote viewing, and much more to come in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. The calls line up for you, CeCe. Let me ask you a few more questions about the skulls, and then mm-hmm. we'll take the calls if we can.
Sure.
How big are they generally? Well, what are their sizes?
The skulls are as small as your thumb.
Really?
Up to, it's the energy of the skull. It doesn't matter the size of the skull. There are those that might, you have to have a really big one, but that's not it. It's the energy of the skull doesn't matter on the size. There are those I've seen that are really tiny ones, and there's one, Leandro de Souza is a master carver that will be at my conference. I will have the world's largest collection of crystal skulls in one spot. Probably over $2 million worth of crystal skulls.
That's a lot.
And it's a lot of skulls. And the largest one in the group, which is a real beauty in himself, is 350 pounds. So
that's good size, isn't it?
That's right. So we go as small as sitting down and saying a fourth of a pound to 350 pounds.
How do you know if someone picks up a skull, how do they know it's crystal as opposed to this hard plastic nowadays?
The resin ones? The resin ones, actually, with your crystal, when you look at it, you're going to have a refractive index in it that you're not going to have with the resin. And so you'll be able to tell, right? I mean, it's easy to tell between crystal and the hard plastic on there. And the hard plastic, you're going to be able to cut into to where the crystal will scratch, but it's not more of cutting into as it is a scratching. With the resin, you're going to be able to scratch right into it or cut right into it. I apologize.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Christina in Bellingham, Washington, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Good morning, Christina.
Good night.
Yeah.
I am calling. There is an 18-year-old kid in our community that's been missing for about 2 days, and our whole community is volunteering and searching and freaking out, and they don't have any leads. And I was just going to bed, and I heard that you do remote viewing.
Does he have brown hair?
I don't know. I haven't been able to. I've been listening to talk radio all day, so I haven't seen a photo of him. Mm-hmm. But it's Bellingham, Washington. He's 18. His mom is sure that he's still alive, and everybody's freaking out. And
What's his name? Do you
know
his name
is Dwyatt. Can I give his last name?
I believe you.
Go Clark.
Ahead. Okay. All right.
Okay. What I pick up on this individual. No, they have not died.
Okay.
No, they're just kind of out there in the woods, by the woods, walking around out there. Are they missing or are they just off on a lark?
Missing. The whole community is trying to search and volunteering.
But he could be. He could be off on a lark. Maybe he's depressed and just decided to walk away for a while.
Go on a walkabout.
I don't know. Well, he's a student here at our college in Bellingham.
I ask if he has brown hair, because the person that I'm seeing is brown, medium build, not overweight, but the medium build to him, kind of like the, I want to say the nerdy build, but then you could be the football player and have a what would be considered a nerdy build, or not a nerdy, like a swimmer's build, strong swimmer's build. I see somebody walking around in the woods. And not overly concerned on there, but I don't see anything bad that's happened to them. And in walking forward in time and daylight around them, in 2 days' time being located.
Yeah, they still haven't found him, and I think it's going on day two now.
Okay, I'm picking up 2 days.
Yeah.
And being located, so maybe that means to tomorrow in the daylight being found, or it could be 2 days from now.
All right. And my producer sent me a picture of him. CeCe, he does have, it looks like, sandy brown hair.
Okay.
More on the brown side.
Okay.
According to this picture.
Okay.
They say he was a very caring young man, lots of ambition. He's 18 years old. He went to Western Washington University. He's been missing since early Sunday. He left a Billingham party to walk to his dorm, and he's never come home.
Hmm. Okay, well, I don't feel like there's the foul play in there as to what has transpired to go from one point to the other. I don't know other than what I am coming forward and seeing around him right now. And there's a night, and there's, is the area that he's at, is it woods in there?
Yeah, it's kind of woods. He sent 6,000 text messages last month, but since Sunday, he has not sent any. That's kind of ominous, isn't it?
Well, it would be odd, but I don't see a phone on him. If he had a phone, or, you know, maybe a dead battery might be the problem, and why he's not able to send anything out there. Do I see harm to him? No. Do I see him on the ground? No. I literally see him up and moving about, walking about, kind of like, you know,
I'm going to get some information out to some folks.
Okay.
And that is, he is 6 feet two, weighs 160. They say brown hair, blue eyes.
Okay. About the right size and build that I was saying.
And for information, call the police department in Bellingham, Washington. I guess that's the most we can do right now, huh?
Okay, south and west of his location. Where does he live? Look south and west. And the woods.
In the woods. But you do not believe foul play?
No.
You think he's just trying to collect his thoughts or what?
Either he went out and had a little bit too much fun and ended up out in the woods. I don't see foul play that happened on him. How he ended up out there, I don't know.
Okay,
I can't see on that as to what it was that put him out there, other than him ending up out there.
Right.
And anything happened, having happened to him, no.
That, all right, we'll
two
see
days,
what happens.
2 days, he's either out 2 days and in the light. I see light around him. So, okay, so if there's light, that would mean that it's out in the open. So we have woods, but we're out in the open. What's woods and out in the open? So there's woods around you, and then there's a clearing area that's out in the open.
A clearing area, a pasture, who knows what?
Yeah, it could be like a pasture or something like that, right? That would make sense to be in the woods, but out in the open. Because there's trees around. I'm seeing trees around, but I'm seeing an open area. And where I'm seeing him at, if the sun were out, sunshine, it would be on him. He would have sunshine on him. But I'm at this point, he's walking.
Okay, let's go to Ruben in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Ruben, thank you for holding. Go ahead.
Thank you. Actually, first time caller, and we love your show.
Thanks.
My question is that we have had a case here in Albuquerque that have had 11 or 12 women who have been murdered in the West Mesa. Will they ever find the killer of these people, or?
As soon as you started up, I immediately went to serial killer.
I mean, it's been on America's Most Wanted. It's been on national television. It's been they've had people that they've looked at, but nothing that has been solid. They're not sure if it's a person that may have already been killed, that has died himself or herself, or. But I mean, these were women who.
You know what? This is what I get. This is what I get off of it. The person that is doing this, and this is something that I come across occasionally. If I come across somebody else that's very intuitive, then I get bits and pieces like symbols around them. I would say this person has not been caught because they're very tapped in. They know. They can smell it coming. And when I see and look at the individual, I could not tell you if it is male or female. All I see is a set of eyes. And the eyes are cold and steel colored, like a hazel steel color. As to whether it's male or female, I could not tell you. I only see a set of eyes that are very cold, unfeeling, detached. Oh, well, another dead body. Another Just kind of like Jeffrey Dahmer, huh?
Hmm. I'm sorry? I see that.
But that's all I get around that as to getting caught, or are they dead or anything like that. I would say no, but I would also say that this individual is very tapped in. They can smell it coming.
All right. Okay, Ruben. All right. Interesting. Linda is in Farmingdale, Maine. Go ahead, Linda. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Oh, thank you, George, my favorite person.
Well, thank you.
I was wondering if it's possible, if you could help me find, I have four old gold, solid gold coins that my mother gave me. And
were they sitting in a desk, like a secretary desk? Is that where they were kept?
Well, they were all four kind of on a cardboard in a plastic, and I don't know if they're still in the house, what room in the house they might be, or if somebody might have found them and stole them, and I'm not aware of it.
They're still in your house. Were they kept in, like, a secretary? Do you have a secretary in your house? You know what a secretary is, a roll top?
I have a couple. I have a roll top desk.
Okay, go to the roll top desk.
Okay.
The only reason why I'm saying is, well, for me to see something, if you give me too much information, I don't like too much information. It's kind of like, I almost like it cryptic.
I see.
Way it's cold, because if you give me too much, it's like feed me information.
I stop
seeing one, and I start looking into other things in there. And in the question of you asking the thing that I saw around you right off on your question, was something that looked like a secretary desk. That's why I was asking, do you have a secretary or a roll-top desk in your house? Because I'm seeing what looks like a roll-top desk in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly in that, in a drawer on maybe a right-hand side of a drawer.
I feel better just to know if they're still here and somebody didn't steal them.
No, nobody stole them. They're still there. Where they sit, something's on it, though. Something, well, of course, they were inside something, you said. Because I was going to say, the light is not shining on it, but even still, the box that they're in is underneath something that sits on top of it, and so that's how it's easy to, you know how you get a drawer and you have a whole collection of things inside the drawer?
Uh-huh.
And things get tossed in, and you can look at something, and you can look at it over and over and over and not see it.
Yes,
right,
okay.
In front of you, that's what I get about this, is that it is something that's in an obvious place, but yet it's being looked over, yet it's still there.
Okay, I'll check. I have two desks, and I'm going to check both of them tomorrow morning.
All righty, fantastic. Thank you
so much for your help.
Yes, ma'am, and you have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Sweet dreams.
All right, thanks, Linda. Now, next up, we go to Independence, Mississippi. First-time caller is Mike. Hey, Mike, go for it.
Hi, George. How are you this evening?
Hi, good, good.
I wanted to ask your guest that was doing the remote viewing on the missing young boy, do you see water around him? Because I see a small creek. Small rocks, that kind of thing. And I picked up on the brown hair, the bills and all that as well. Do you see water, a creek, small river, anything like that around him?
And that, you know, that could very well fit in with the woods and the open area. Could very well have those things that are in there. And that would probably be more of, you're picking up pieces in there that I'm not seeing.
Which is
altogether possible. I'm not going to sit there and say mine's right and yours wrong. It's just
right. This
is people that I'm seeing. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I see is on the eastern side of a small creek or small river.
Okay, that would make sense then. If I'm looking at south and east, then that possibly be good. You are picking up that there's a creek running through there, rocks running through there. And then south and east of that is a clearing area. So that might be a thing to look at, is to go south and east of the location he was known at and see if there's a river, a creek, something with rocks in it, and then continuing on to look for an area that's an open and clearing and possibly finding them there. Very, very good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes,
thanks,
sir.
Mike. I got to tell you, Cece, if we can find him, in the next day or two, all because of you. That's absolutely incredible.
Well, you know what? If, and just, you know, that were the case, then it's another case of just sitting down and saying, is this person out there putting that thought out, find me, I'm lost, and I get confirmations on that.
Right.
And others are picking up that same information. And then you go back and you say, what's the synchronicity of sitting down and saying, here was this show that put, you know, 6 degrees of separation. This person here and that person there got a piece of information which led to that person and a piece of information that brought those together. And between that, then he was found. And so then you sit there and you think, you know, I did this radio show and I do it every night. I'm out there and I'm doing it. What kind of effect do I have on people? Who have I changed or what have I changed in the course of my day? What did I do?
You've changed their lives. That's
you're right.
You've
changed somebody's life because there is power in words. You change their life every day in through the different people that you bring on. But when we come in as well in what we do, can cause the cause and effect as well in changing someone else. I hope that I'm right on that. I'm about a 98% accuracy. I'm not 100%, but I'm about a 98% accuracy.
And something happened. He leaves the party at 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
His car was left on the lot by his dormitory. His cell phone no longer works. Not unusual, especially if it's a smartphone. Those things eat up battery power.
Sure.
But why would he wander away? I mean, can you, when you remote view, can you go back into time? Can you picture him coming out of that dorm or coming out of the place of the party and see if there are other people there? If somebody's behind him, following him, can you get into his mind that way?
Do I see anything sinister in that? And sometimes I can do that. In this case, I really don't see any sinisterness. That's why I'm asking, did he party maybe a little bit too much? Did he go out drinking with his buddies?
Has he passed out? You know, let me ask you this. Is it possible? I mean, he was an A student, but, you know, who knows what? Could he be injured somewhere? Maybe he fell down a creek bed or something, hit his head.
Sure. I was going to say, there's always that possibility. As a wild thing, you go out there, you have one too many drinks, you go wandering off, whatever, so you caught somebody kissing your girlfriend, who knows? You know, you're upset. So you go stomping off, and you go along, you trip, you hit your head onto the side of a tree, you knock yourself for a loop, you're already drunk or have been drinking, it knocks you for a bit of a loop, and you come out of it, maybe you've got a concussion. And, you know, you're dealing with that it's, you know, caused a loss in a time factor in there, or, you know, this is, of course, speculating and really drawing on a lot of things on there, and that's where I say I don't like to start reading things into it, because then you can come in at maybe this and maybe that, and then that's where it all starts going left.
You start second-guessing yourself you start doing that. All right, Cece, stay with us. We're going to take this quick break, then we're going to come right back and take more callers. Another one from Farmingdale, Maine, Houston, Texas, San Pedro, California, and the rest of North America and the world on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us with some incredible stories of high strangeness, followed by an hour of conversations with Linda. And, you know, for most of you in the Midwest may know of the Smiley Face Killer. It's a serial killer located primarily throughout the Midwest. Young college students are targeted generally after they've gone out and they've had too much to drink, they've partied a little too much, and they are found in a body of water. So I just want you to be aware of that. We'll come back with more. We'll talk with Cece Stevens, and we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. We're with Cece Stevens. We're going to take the rest of your calls now. Let's go to Farmingdale, Maine. And two calls from there tonight. That's never happened before. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, good day, George, CC. CC, I was at 99 last year.
Fantastic. Welcome back.
And I thought the best part of the whole thing was going around meeting all the scholars and the wonderful light show that Shana Ra put on.
Uh-huh.
Are there going to be any other skulls out there this year that we can meet with?
There is going to be. All of my speakers are bringing some in. There's a whole new line of different ones that are in there. And I have to say, if I can throw this in here, the lineup, and this will also go in line with your callers as well, George, but you know what, John, right on cue, was that a lot of my speakers that I'm bringing in as well are some incredibly talented mediums that I found out.
Perfect.
And that they are so tapped in. And so those that are bringing their, that have their skulls they're bringing with them this year are also some tapped in, very tapped in, that I stood back and I thought, if you could bring all these powerful psychics together in one spot with the skulls, look, imagine you could do. And a 10-10-10 has wrapped up to be just that. It is a round table from around the world. Jennifer Welch, incredible. Shirley Coventry, Australia, that is going to be there, unbelievable. Sharon White Elk, England is going to be there, the same thing. These are people with talent. What I did want to say, if I could, George,
mm-hmm.
Email to use is worldmysteryllc@aol.com. For those that don't get their question, email it to that, and I will see to it that their questions are answered.
Great. And the website, crystalskullfestival.com. Lex, by the way, is posting on our Twitter feed information on the Dwight Clark case, the little 18-year-old who has disappeared.
And there's also, for those listeners that are listening, if they go to that webpage right now, they're going to see, and you didn't know about this one, little surprise, Coast to Coast special price. And so I've reduced the price down for your Coast to Coast listeners for, this, for tonight for $275 plus 5 raffle tickets for this incredibly big sentinel skull.
And what town's that going to be in again?
That's on there right now. So everybody,
No. I mean the event.
The event is October the 8th to October the 11th. That's Friday. Friday is a meet the speakers dinner.
Where's it going to be?
And it's going to be in Tempe, Arizona. Perfect. At the Embassy Suites Hotel, 4400 South Rural Road is where it's located at. If you have listeners that are wanting to attend that are not wanting to buy a conference ticket for that fact, and they're just wanting to get together with one of these individuals and do a workshop, there's that. Or if they're just needing to come in for a reading by one of these talented readers, by all means, come in for that as well.
All right, super.
I'm all about the knowledge and wanting to help people find that knowledge and find those answers that they're needing to be able to find.
San Pedro, California, we go. Hello, Jim. You're up.
Yes. Hello, George. Thank you for taking my call. And hello,
sure
CC. This is a story. I have been collecting minerals for about 3 years. And in doing so, I've collected a number of skulls. I have about 30 of them.
Fantastic.
Wow.
And this one particular story is about, and I every time I get a mineral, I'd keep it with me for about a good week.
Mm-hmm.
And at nighttime, I'd like, you know, have it under my pillow or hold on to it. Well, this particular skull is a howlite skull, white howlite.
Uh-huh.
And the second night I had it with me, I was dreaming like I was going to eat, like, ice cream, like those bonbons.
Right.
And I woke up, and I was just about to put them in my mouth.
Right.
and that kind of scared me because, I could have choked on him, you know? I could have choked on that.
You could have, yeah.
So then.
Oh, you were sticking the skull in your mouth.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was going to say, what was wrong with eating a bonbon?
I'm sorry.
I didn't explain right.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of nervous. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But, okay.
Take a deep breath and relax, and we're there.
Right. So two nights later, not the next night, but two nights later, I was holding the skull again because, like I said, I hold my minerals for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I got hit in the – I woke up being hit in the mouth. I hit myself in the mouth holding onto the skull.
Oh, jeez.
And it really hurt. You know, I hit myself really hard. And it scared me, you know. So I went to my friend's shop, and I told him about it. And I said, is there some way I could clean them, you know, to clean – because friends in the shop told me, said, well, howlite in fairyland, in the fairy world, they're tricksters and they play pranks on you and they can be ornery. And I said, well, I'd like to get this cleaned. And he said to stick it in the window seal. So I stuck him in the window seal and went to work. That next day in the window seal, it's very warm, very hot on the south side.
Right.
I was at work and I got this horrible headache, and I wasn't sick. And I didn't know why I had this headache, and I had, you know, kind of forgotten about the skull. And when I came home and went into the kitchen, I saw him in the windowsill, and it just, wow, you know. I'm just going to preface by saying that I love all my minerals and crystals, but this one skull, I'm a little leery of. I don't know where he came from. I know that my friend says that most of his skulls are carved by Chinese or Brazilian, and okay. The Chinese ones are better quality as far as carvings.
A little bit more intricate, right?
That's correct. But I have anywhere from, you know, like I have around 30 of them, ruby, quartz, amethyst, rose quartz. I have a whole array of them. But this one in particular was just a little scary for me, and I just wanted to tell you guys, share that story with you. I've been trying to call you last time that you guys were talking about the crystal skulls, and I just wanted to share that story with you.
Are you by the ocean? Are you by the water?
Yes, I am. I am by the ocean.
Okay. What I was going to suggest that I get off of it, and then I've done with mine. Like with Bob, and sometimes somebody will get him, and he'll get some nasty energies that I feel on him. And I always take him out to the ocean and give him a bath. And he's happy after that.
Soap and water or what?
Yeah, well, no.
What do you mean?
The tide, the water in the ocean, and the salt water, the water. And I would say, go down to the ocean, go sit out there and put a prayer to your skull of white light surrounding your skull. And from that, an orange light around it to negate any negative energy coming to it. So it's only emanating the white Christ light on it, that of protection. And then put it to the water and wash it, cleanse it, and then hold it to you and give it a prayer, and you should be fine after that.
Super. All right, yeah. Jim.
Otherwise,
thanks.
If you sleep, I would advise you to pat it up in a pillow before you put it down.
Good advice. Let's go to Shelley in Topeka, Kansas. Go ahead, Shelley, first-time caller. Hi.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I have a friend who lives in Wyoming, and he's a rancher. A week ago yesterday, he was on a mountain bringing cows down, and his cow dog disappeared. And he looked for 2 days and nights and wasn't able to find him. I think he's given up. But I keep having this feeling that the dog is still alive, and I don't know if I'm just wishful thinking, or if you should go back and keep trying to look.
Okay. Dog is injured. Are there wolves in the area?
Yeah, wolves and bears.
Okay.
And coyotes.
And he's
convinced.
When you said that, the first thing I saw was wolves in the area. Dog injured from wolves being bit. If you're able to locate him in the next 24 hours, then you should be okay with it. But honestly, I don't have a good feeling with it.
Okay.
But I will send white light to the dog. I will put healing to this animal that I am so wrong. And that healing will go to that animal and give it the strength to be Lassie and find his way back home. In my world, he'll find his way back home. But
I keep hoping he'll find his way back home, or he'll find another rancher who's moving their cows, and you know, somebody will bring them in. That's kind of what my thought or my vision has been over and over and over.
Okay, well, we'll find out. How long do you think an animal can last that way in the woods, injured, assuming it's not attacked by anything, CC? About a week?
Probably. Well, you know, maybe even, you know, if it's able to fend and grass and things like that. We had a dog that we lost one time, Rex, and we were in the South, and he got out of the car and got off on his own, and we gave up trying to find him, and then we got a phone call, and it was like 3 weeks later. Skinny as a rail, but somebody found him, and he was ruckling it on the road trying to find his way. He was following the scent. And they gave us a call, and we put him on a plane and got him, and he was a wreck, an absolute wreck when we got him. But we got him back, and it took about 3 weeks.
Let's go to Houston, Texas, east of the Rockies. Joey's turn. Hi, Joey. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a reoccurring dream of a little girl. I'm actually in Tomball, Texas now, and this girl has somewhat of a, I don't know, like a pummeled face or so. And it's when I first moved out here that it's almost as if she was trying to tell me something. And I keep thinking about a field that's nearby.
Hmm.
Wow.
Well, when you have...
This is a reoccurring dream that you keep having?
Yeah, it was just twice or three times, and now it's sort of subsided now for almost a year.
Could it be, now this is a little wild one that's out there. Could it be you in a past life?
I don't know. Possibly, maybe. I don't know.
You're recounting something that you had in another life?
That's possible. Yeah, I've had dreams like that, you know, where they're a completely different person.
Right. Could it be the simple case of something happening and you're in that area? So you literally are picking up that energy of this other lifetime?
Oh, yeah, that's possible. Yeah. I was always thinking, I don't know why, about this little field that's next door here, but it just, I don't know, seemed kind of suspicious with, I guess, that dream. Or almost like a vision, really.
Have you researched the area to see if there's anybody that's been missing or anything that's gone on in that area?
No, I haven't.
That's what I think. That's like, what I would do if it was me. I would go out and do some research and see.
Okay.
It's the best way to do it. Text message in, Sam from Tucson wants to know if the power of the skull can bring a person to good health. I would definitely say yes. Cece, yeah. You elaborate.
Can it bring good health? I'll tell you. I was told when I had pneumonia to take the skull and put it to my chest, put Bob on my chest. Bob would help draw out the fluids.
Hmm.
And so I did that, and, well, interesting enough, it did make me better. My husband had a stroke, and they gave him 10% chance of survival. 10%, and which, you know, wasn't quite good odds, and he was paralyzed, and he'd had a full stroke. And a friend of mine who is a trauma team nurse but also into crystals and medicine, she sat down and she said, well, we need to lay the crystals. And I'm like, okay, we're in a hospital, my husband's had a stroke, and now you want to lay crystals on him? He says, trust me on this, it'll work. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm open to anything, and we need to put them to the throat and, you know, in areas that have been affected, and lay them here and lay them there. And she laid them out. And I've got to tell you, 4 days later, my husband walked out of the hospital.
That's amazing.
The following day, he would pull it out. Of course, they gave him a shot, too. I have to say they did give him a shot. That helped. But when they gave him the shot, they gave him 5% chance of survival on that. Simply because it was a 50-50 shot at either kill him or cure him. Well, you have your husband is laying there in almost a vegetable place. You have to make a hard decision. Does he want to live that way or die that way? The decision is, if it was me, I would rather die than stay that way. So give me the shot, and then it gives me another 5% chance that I, you know,
yeah,
one way or the other.
And they should work it out first, don't you think?
Yeah, right. And so... In the case of him, though, and laying those crystals on, I was amazed that did rally around and work. We've done hematite. If you put hematite on an injury like with arthritis, it takes the achy breaky out of it and helps with that. And I've done that one, and it has worked. So can using crystals bring healing with them? I would say yes, they can.
The ancients, how did they polish the crystal skulls to such perfection?
Yeah. Very carefully.
What a political answer that was, huh?
Yeah.
Do you think they had some help, some special tools?
No, there are those that think the ETs came in and did it. I would say that in a lot of the talents that we can do, if you take two likes and rub them together on your stones, it's going to create a scratching and breaking them down. So you're putting it in there with something that's a little bit harder than what you have, and you tumble it, and that smooths it out that way. So, go ahead.
I'm going to take another caller if you're done. Miles in Anaheim, California. Go ahead, Miles, real quickly.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, and good evening to both of you. I have two real quick, CC and George. One is a friend of mine's sister, her mother-in-law, is got on a bus in Tucson, Arizona, and has been missing for about a week. And the sister was on the news a couple days ago in Tucson, and they have seen no hide or hair of her.
Did the mother have Alzheimer's or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of. She was very coherent of what was going on.
I remember seeing that on the news. And excuse me, I'm sorry.
I just wonder if somebody followed her. You know, somebody got off the bus with her. Who knows, huh?
Well, yeah, there you go. I remember. I'm sorry, now I'm getting old.
You need to get Bob next to you so you don't have that hoarse throat, huh?
I have Bob next to me. I think that's what the problem is. I think it's time to put him up. He's like...
Well, you're almost done. You got 20 seconds to go.
He's drawing it in. My feeling on the woman was that there possibly was foul play involved in that when I saw it. I did not see her coming back. I saw someone of foul play going on with it.
All right. Thank you, Cece. Good luck with your conference. More information on that, crystalskullfestival.com. And we'll keep our eyes and ears out on the story of the missing 18-year-old from Billingham, Washington, Dwight Clark. Does not sound good. He's been gone for a couple days. It's strange. We'll be back in a moment with Linda Moulton Howe on Coast to Coast AM.